Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. We've been discussing the issue of human trafficking on today's show because January is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month. We're now going to turn our attention to a local student-produced film called Control-Alt-Deceit that's aimed directly at high school students. I'm joined in studio by Nick Lamb. He's a senior at Naples High School. He and his sister Katie co-wrote the film script and are associate producers of the production. Nick, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to meet you in person. I'm also joined in studio by Hemi Kafle. He is the district liaison for homeless education for Collier County Public Schools and has worked with the issue of human trafficking throughout his career. Hemi, welcome to the show. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice to meet you. I'm also joined in studio by Lynn Brewer. She is the president of the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking, which is based in Fort Myers. She helped found a teen task force with high schoolers from Lee and Collier counties, which speaks at community and church events. Lynn, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Great to see you. If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCO. So, Lynn Brewer, I'm going to start with you. Tell me a little bit about the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking.
The coalition was formed in 2005 when one of the very first human trafficked victims was actually identified.
No, we talked about that about a half hour ago, right? Okay.
Right. Okay. And at the time, it was mostly service. So anyone who serviced human trafficking in any way, that's what the coalition was made up of. We have kind of switched that over the years to being a support and a go-to place for the service people. We do all the training for the law enforcement in all five counties, for the fire departments. We just got a contract this morning to work on all the EMS for all of their four-hour training. We do a ton of community presentations. It's called education, education, education.
Well, it's interesting you talk about EMS. I mean, they're highly skilled individuals, same with firefighters, in what they do. But this is kind of adding another component of awareness and ability to recognize these kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Because, so it's like supplementary training.
Right. They're just truly not trained to look for it because they are honed in on emergency
lives.
Issues.
You know, little things like
just
saving
little things.
People.
Correct.
Well, they're all big things, but you know what I'm saying. It's just it's another thing for them to become aware of.
Correct.
So you train them for what to look for, what kind of behaviors to identify, and maybe sensitive approaches for how to handle someone who may be being victimized or someone that is suspected of victimizing someone else.
Correct. And who to call, who to contact when they think this. And they find this.
Yeah, we were talking about that just a minute ago, about the people that are there to pick up the pieces when someone it is discovered as being exploited in such a way.
Correct.
So, Nick, how did you get involved in the issue of human trafficking? How did this come to your attention as a high school student?
Well, actually, two summers ago, I was lucky enough to be selected as a participant in the State Department program in Washington, D.C., where they talked about human trafficking. And this was actually the first I've heard of, really heard of this issue. And at this program, it really opened my eyes to the prevalence of how much this really takes place and how much of this occurs.
You know, I learned a lot here in the last several years, too. I always kind of viewed it, as a lot of people did in the beginning, as, oh, this is a thing that happens either in other places or here to people from somewhere else. Were you going through the same kind of trajectory as me as learning, well, this actually happens to people who are from here, who haven't been trafficked in from other countries, but maybe classmates that you had?
Exactly. Something that really struck me is I have almost never heard about it throughout my entire school experience. And to find out that it really happens a lot to teens and it almost targets kids in our age bracket really surprised me.
Yeah, because of that insecurity kind of situation with people. And it happens to girls and to guys. I mean, girls and boys, both boys and girls. Were you shocked? I mean, you were just kind of.
I was. Yes. I was really surprised there isn't more awareness on this issue for something so prevalent and something so that seems so serious. You'd think there would be more awareness just throughout the community.
Or just maybe kids talking about it with one another. I guess kind of embarrassing to talk about out loud too. It's not a really comfortable conversation to have.
Exactly. It's more of a gritty subject that people don't really talk about they would never talk about it in their free time.
Well, and then you're talking about teenagers too. If there's a girl and she's getting involved with a guy online, I mean, how do you have that conversation with a friend of yours that's getting into talking to somebody that they've never met, but they're exposing all this information online?
It's a difficult conversation to have, especially when online bonds can seem so real, when you have real problems and it just feels like you need someone to talk to. These online relationships feel like they're safe, but they really aren't. And to get that across is, I think, very important.
Well, it was interesting. There's part of the film that I want to play real quick. This is from the segment called Too Much Information, and it kind of drives home the point that oversharing in real life might seem a little bit stranger than it does when you're oversharing online.
You're a good listener. I feel like I can tell you anything. I had the biggest crush on this girl, Paula Berkowitz, last year, and I went up to ask her to a dance, and she said, "Who are you?" I don't think she was trying to be mean.
Why are you telling me all this? I don't know you.
You seem cool. What else?
Why would anyone share their secrets with a stranger like that? With social media, it is a weirdly common thing. Teens build trusted relationships over the internet and sometimes feel comfortable sharing everything, even their innermost secrets, with people they've never even met. And oftentimes, we're talking deeply personal secrets, ones they'd never share with even their parents or their best friend. Sometimes the cyber connection seems more real, more authentic than real life. But you have to be smarter. Someone with bad intentions can use the personal information you share against you. General rule, if you don't want your parents to see it, then you probably shouldn't be posting it on the internet. Traffickers can use your sense of shame, guilt, or embarrassment to blackmail you. You wouldn't think it happens, but it happens all the time. Sometimes it leads unsuspecting kids into the hands of human traffickers.
That was a bit of the student-produced film Control-Alt-Deceit. We're joined in studio by one of its writers and co-producers, Nick Lamb. That is such an interesting thing. You know, I went up to this girl and I had a crush on her and she didn't. But these are the things that you just don't just randomly start saying to someone. But in the movie, he just happens to be sitting on a park bench and just starts throwing that out there at this girl that's standing by innocently. It's kind of almost funny to see somebody doing that. But it happens all the time online where people are throwing all that information out there. Where did you get your ideas for the script?
Well, I've just seen it a lot. And I've really during this program, I've heard a lot about it where kids just feel comfortable sharing their secrets online. It's just something that happens. And I was just really affected. And that's something that I wanted to make sure I included.
So had you ever written a screenplay before?
No, I have not. So this was definitely a new experience for me.
Yeah. And then you had some help from the players from Sugden Theater?
I did. They were incredibly helpful.
And so they
kind of helped me through and guided me through the process.
Kind of brought some of it to life.
It was really interesting seeing how much goes into a play too, mm-hmm. or any script. It really takes a lot more than meets the eye when you're watching the final video.
Mm-hmm. It's really great. It was pretty powerful. I watched the whole thing a month or so ago when we first started talking.
Oh, thank you.
Hemi, I wanted to turn now to you. You work with these kids. What is it with people wanting to share a lot of stuff online and have that sympathetic ear that they don't do in person?
That's a very interesting question because often I think our generation is so in tune or connected with the social media because our environment itself is so diverse. But yet we have working families and everyone is working together, but yet separately. So kids do not have that the familiar foundation of support.
That interpersonal connection?
Interpersonal connection is lacking. And in order for any kids, any student to be accepted as a part of a community, they are joining to social media. Social media provides that unknown but yet very connected sense of belonging, sense of a community. Once you develop that relationship, you are open to discuss about almost anything where you lead so much vulnerability and you expose yourself without even really realizing what you have done. So social media has become a one tool to exploit vulnerability in our world today.
Yeah, well, we saw that in the political stuff, everything. There's a lot of that. Yes. Everybody's doing that 10-year challenge now, and everybody's saying, oh, wait, facial recognition is now going to see what you look like 10 years ago, and it's right. going to use this, have this wonderful data set. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the kids that you're working with that are dealing with homelessness in addition to the pressures of just being a teenager, which I think if we all remember was not the easiest time frame.
Absolutely. Time has changed. When I was growing up in a small village in Nepal, that was different than the kid who was growing up in Collier County. So I am a district liaison for homeless education and foster care, and my role is really to work and augment homeless students and foster kiddos to get a effective, conducive education. So I work with the most vulnerable segment of population, and those are homeless and foster care. At the same time, within the Collier County, we have over 50,000 students. And out of that 50,000 students, we have been able to identify over 800 students as homeless.
And a lot of them are couch surfing?
A lot of them
are. Is from what I understand before?
Yes, couch surfing. There is economic hardship. Somebody's been evicted. There is a natural disaster that causes them to become a homeless. And, of course, in Florida, last year we had our number was skyrocketing because of the Irma. Mm-hmm. And there are also domestic violence. There's a various component that causes the homelessness.
When you have all of those vulnerabilities anyway, and then you add the vulnerability of being an insecure teenager growing up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the peer pressures not only from people that you go to school with every day, but then the entire online community that you're trying to be a member of as well.
Absolutely.
Do you find that kids that are dealing with homelessness might be more susceptible to a human trafficker?
It's one of the most critical point is that those who are a vulnerable segment of population are more prone to be exploited. And exploitation is so real, is there, that one form of exploitation is human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 68% to 75% of those individuals who are experiencing homelessness or in the system of foster care, one point in their life have been exploited and like human trafficking.
That is a pretty staggering number.
That is very high, yet we are unable to really understand what is that we can, as a community, can do. And that's why precisely my role as a district liaison at the Collier County Public Schools, we try to break down all the barriers so that those homeless students and foster kiddos will be able to achieve good education through providing transportation.
Just these kids are in this survival mode. You know, and when you're in survival mode, you're going to take care of yourself and you think you can answer all of life's questions. You can get yourself kind of trapped into something.
And precisely that's where my role comes in as a liaison, is to work with the student.
And to take away some of those things they would stress about to survive.
That's right. And work with the parents, try to figure out what is they are in need, so how we can connect them with the community. Work with school counselors and social workers to understand the holistic approach so that we'll be able to reduce some of the vulnerability. Hopefully that would reduce human trafficking.
Lynn, I'm going to turn now to you from the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking. Do you see vulnerabilities in teenagers because of things like social media and all of the different social strata that they're trying to fit in while they're also teenagers and developing their brains?
Most assuredly. The youngest survivor that we have in our area is a 6-year-old male. So when you look at the statistics, Southwest Florida has actually a younger group that is actually being sought by the trafficker. So when you are talking about high school, you're talking about junior high. Mm-hmm. You know, these children need to be informed. This year we have gone and done actually our community presentation into some of the school arenas trying to get into the system. We have actually broken that bridge and are going to be able to train some of the – like the social workers or some of the people at the school so that they can take it throughout their school. These children have to have information. They just have to. And, you know, we've talked with over 5,000 community members just in 2018. And our presenters, you know, would like to be busier because the more information we can get out to people, the less likely they are to think about their position and to be concerned about what's coming their way.
And I'm wondering, I think we've done a show on this before, and I believe, Lynn, you were the person that was here talking with us about it, about the transient nature of the adult visitor to Southwest Florida.
Correct.
And the possibility of it becoming a place where people, instead of going all the way to Cambodia, do vacations for the purpose of securing sex with minors.
Definitely. That is a statistic in our area. And being as transient as our area is, having the wealth that our area has.
And a lot of vacant houses.
A lot of vacant houses, a lot of places to go that people are just not paying attention to who is next door, whether it be next door in the hotel, motel, in their own neighborhood.
Oh, it just makes my stomach turn. When we do shows on this, I become enraged when I get off the air. Nick, I want to turn back to you. Now, your film is kind of targeting more the high school set, correct?
Yes.
Where can people see this?
Right now, what we're actually working on doing is getting it into the HOPE curriculum, which is a physical education course that everyone in high school has to take, so it's mandatory. We're also planning on showing it in as many events as we can. We're really trying to spread it, just get more awareness.
Kind of word of mouth thing?
Exactly.
Is it on YouTube right now?
It is on YouTube, yes.
Okay, so people listening now could run over to YouTube. You have a channel there, correct?
Yes. If you look up Control Alt Deceit, it should come up.
And we also have a link to it on GulfCoastLive.org. So that makes it even easier. So you don't have to pull over your car and write that down. GulfCoastLive.org, real easy. We have a link on the to this this movie that is produced by students themselves about what students are going through and things. Has anybody – what has been the reaction of your friends?
Something I think that's special about this video is it's teen to teen. I think –
well, speaking their language,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. Coming from teens to teens is just a more effective way of communicating. The message often gets lost when it's through generations. So having the same language and maybe more understanding can be really helpful.
Yeah. Hemi, what other things are Collier County Schools trying to do to make kids more aware of this? The Romeos that could be trying to pick off insecure young people.
I think it's just creating more awareness through just even within my program, within the Collier County's homeless education. What we're doing is we are actually providing a preventive approach to human trafficking through providing stability within the student.
Mm-hmm. Stability is really going to help. But that's – I mean, even the most stable kid from the most perfect-seeming family from the outside could still be dealing with insecurities for whatever reason, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Most definitely.
So, yeah, and another big part, what we're doing is actually by providing their sense of community and same school environment is a key factor to be further exploitation.
Mm-hmm.
So – what we're doing, I think, is just like Nick mentioned, that the HOPE curriculum is actually working to capture the essence of what people are feeling. And hopefully they will be able to share to each other. Teens sharing with teens, I think, is a key component.
So, yeah, I think it would be interesting if some even other schools, Lee County, private schools or whatever, were able to find and maybe access and use that YouTube video that you all made.
We also, through the Teen Task Force, we are starting actual meetings both in Naples and in Fort Myers. So they are going to be balancing every other month in one area or the other, where we are inviting other teens to come see the movie, to talk with our teen group, to become involved, to help grow the Teen Task Force, because that's that many more people talking to that many more people.
Yeah. And I guess we can just remind teenagers it's okay to be that goody two-shoe and pester your friend out of being like that online, right?
Absolutely.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guest, Nick Lamb. He's a senior at Naples High and co-writer and associate producer of the short film Control Alt Deceit. Nick, thanks so much for your time and helping us put together this show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Hemi Caffley is the director, the district liaison for homeless education for Collier County Public Schools. Hemi, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And also Lynn Brewer. She's the president of the Florida Coalition Against Human Trafficking. Lynn, thanks to you as well.
We appreciate the opportunity.
And I also want to thank my earlier guests, Lauren McCraney and Nola Tice from the Human Trafficking Awareness Partnerships and FSW Humanities Professor Dr. Wendy Chase. You can find a list of the awareness-raising events that they're hosting this month on our website, gulfcoastlive.org. You can also find a link to that movie, Control-Alt-Deceit, on that same website. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn.